Hello. It's just me again. Just the one guy. Just me, all alone. No Pat. And I'm in Europe. Or I should be. Not as I record this, but I should be there now. Welcome to the 8123 podcast. I'm home, but only in your ears. My body is in Europe. I had to record this intro early because I don't have enough room in my bags to bring the things capable of recording. So I'm going to be early. But the cool thing is you've now heard our new album, You're Okay. Like, you know that the last song is 10 minutes, even though you might have already known that. But you now know all of what happens in the 10 minutes. You know how the record starts with all of the strings and lots of vocal harmonies. You know that. That's cool. And, like, you know that there's, like, an acoustic song. That's cool, too. Yeah. What a weird... It's here. That's sweet. Yeah. Wow. Well, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you're enjoying it. I hope it's, tickling the all your fancies. Is that a thing? Is that what it says? Is that what they say? Tickling your fancy? I don't know. Hopefully that's not like some shit I shouldn't be saying. But hey... You live and you learn. Yeah. So, like I said last time, we're extremely busy. And Pat, you know how I said he was doing things? He's still doing those exact things because I literally recorded this a couple minutes after the last one. But shh. Ooh, can you hear my dog? I don't know if you could. That'd be weird if you couldn't. Okay, so yes, I hope you're doing okay. I'm doing great as of today, and I get on an airplane to New York soon, and I still need to pack, and I have to live off of a carry-on. That's okay. That's the way we do it. That's the way we do it, you know, being cheap and not checking bags. I like that. That's nice. But yeah, okay, so today... On the podcast, we have Derek Sanders from the hit band Mayday Parade, our good buddies, our pals, our number twos, the guys that we've been around with the most, many tours together, great people. He's on the podcast, and he's so great. I think we kind of threw him off at the beginning because, I don't know if he knew this is what we were doing, but that's okay. But he was great at it. He's great at talking and just being a nice person. I think you can tell in it that he's just a nice person. I'm sure if you've met him, you know, or you already know that, or you should. Yeah. So you're going to hear an hour-ish conversation with us and him and talking about crazy tour things and what it's like to be in a band. Pretty much what we do on all of them. But it's nice because everyone has their own perspective. That's what's good about this. You get to hear how other people think. That's pretty nice. Well, I don't know if you've enjoyed these only me intros, but this one I feel better about than the other one. It's weird, like, just being in front of a microphone and talking to yourself. I could act like I'm talking to my cat who's sleeping on the ground, and I'm looking at him, but I'm talking to you, and you could be doing many things, like pooping, working out, driving, flying in a plane. Because if you were like literally like flying, that would be wild. And you'd probably be a superhero. And I think I would know that. I feel like if you could fly, you would show it off. Like, I don't think you'd hide that. But I don't know. That's just me. That's what I would think. All right. Well, we'll get into it. I'll stop being stupid. Okay. Derek, he's up right now. Hope you're doing all right. I hope I'm not too cold in Europe. Rock out, homies. Bye.
I think my first memory of you guys is, so when we signed to Fearless, I think maybe right before we signed, well, first, right before we signed, I think I came to your show in Arizona at the one place it was called, which is like right down the road from here.
It was.
And
do you remember?
You guys were on tour. Did you guys have a bright yellow van that you guys toured in?
We didn't have a yellow van. There may have been someone on the tour.
Yeah,
who did.
Maybe a van on the tour. But I just remember I had never seen a tour van.
I'm trying to remember what I remember meeting some of you guys at that, and I'm trying to think of what tour that was. Do you remember who else was on that?
Or? I think you guys were headlining.
You definitely were. I wasn't there, but you called me right after.
Can't remember who else was on it.
Yeah,
but. We were so, because like we were talking to Feel About Ramen, we were talking to all these like labels, and we were thinking of going Fearless, and I was just trying to find like any way to get like any more information. So like you were just hanging out behind the merch table. I'm like, hey, I'm Pat. I play in a band from Arizona, and just so you know, are you guys happy with their label?
Yeah. What did I say?
Like, you gave me they're great people, and they've always been good to us or something. And I was like, all right, we're gonna do it.
Right, peace out.
Yeah. Well, right. Bob had told us about you guys at one point, and I think it was before I met you guys. Yeah, and I think it was before you guys signed. And he's like, yeah, check out this band. They're called The Main, and we're thinking about signing them. And he played us, you know, one or two of you guys' songs, and we were like, this is dope. Yeah, you should sign them. And he mentioned that Sean from Cute Is What We Aim For had like posted on MySpace or something about guys, and that like created some buzz. And
I forgot. Yeah, I don't that know did happen. That, yeah, that, no. Yeah. That, I mean, I think that kind of got a lot of stuff going.
He was trying to
get us to Fuel By.
To sign us. He was going to, like, if we would have signed, he was going to start, like, an imprint label at Fuel By Ramen. And we were going to be, like, the first band.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that?
Very happy we didn't do that.
Yeah. would have been a whole different path, I think. I don't know. We could have been huge, or we could have not been around anymore.
Who knows, man? Yeah,
it's crazy. Did you guys talk to other labels in the start? Or
we did, which I think
anybody of note.
Let's see. We kind of were talking to Victory, who, thank goodness, we didn't. What's crazy is that Victory either, and I don't know if it's bad that I'm like, you know.
Oh, I don't.
I think there's enough out there.
Pretty well known.
Right, right. Well, we had a, this was when we were following Warped Tour and when we were following Warped Tour in 2006 and selling CDs, that's when we kind of, you know, were approached by a couple of different labels, and that's when we did our showcase for Fearless, was that summer. And we also were offered to do a showcase for Victory, and it was in Chicago on the day that Warped Tour was in Chicago. So we didn't sell CDs in Chicago, which would have been it's a great market to go, and we could have sold a lot of CDs. We didn't do it. They booked us this show actually with Wheatus. They booked us this show at a tiny little bar, and they were like, we're going to come watch you guys play the show with Wheatus. We're going to come watch you guys, and we'll talk to you after the show, and we'll hang out and whatever. I don't know if they were even there or not, or they just watched and weren't impressed and just left, because we played the show and then nobody from Victory ever contacted us or came up to us, and we were like, damn it, like we could have went and sold CDs today, and instead we just like played this show at a bar like for...
See, you're allowed to talk shit now after that.
Right, yeah. And so, and then there were a couple others that we talked to, but Fearless was always like, from the start, like, we did the showcase, and it was kind of a similar thing. We had to like skip a day of selling CDs, and we did like a showcase for Bob and you know, a handful of folks there, and then they took us to the office, which is a different, you know, spot back then, and they were like just very... you know, excited about the band, and very like no one else was at, they were like, yeah, like, you know, there was some interest, but Fearless was like, we like really want you guys to be here. And I don't know. Yeah. Just
they were totally like that with us too. Yeah. I remember our showcase first one with them was before Doors at a show. So it was literally Bob and like Todd and like two other people before the show happened,
right?
And I was just like, this is so fucking weird, this is so
it was
strange,
really weird, because we were kind of maybe trying to act like it was a show almost to like impress them or something. I'm sure we were like rocking out, like it was like
exactly
a show.
I mean, yeah,
which,
same,
like, looking back on it, I was like cringeworthy, but
no, yeah, but that's same, because you know they rented like a rehearsal space, and we were on like a stage in a stage, and then they were kind of just sitting in the dark, and we were like, yeah, like, do we like rock out, or do we, you know? Yeah. And there was
you're
one
like swinging your mic around,
and there was one song that I forget why we didn't want to play one song, and then Bob's like, hey, play that one, and we were like, oh shit, like, okay, I guess we got to play it, like,
oh my god,
but
it's,
anyway, yeah,
it like, as if them seeing you play in a rehearsal space was like going to
prove anything.
This is a good idea. How bad would you have to have been for them to like, no, there's no chance.
Yeah.
Dude, but it's probably weird for them too. They're like, what? Like, I would imagine I'd be like, what do I do with my hands? And like where do I look? Like,
yeah.
Clap after the song's over. Like,
right.
Oh
yeah.
God.
Yeah. They were like in the, like these like shadowy figures, like in the dark, you know, and we're like, feel like we're just like being an American Idol, like being judged or something, you know.
It's so weird.
Well, what's crazy is that you think about it, like that was so long ago that like it's not like they could just look up like videos of the band on YouTube or anything.
Yeah.
It's almost like they like
that was the only way to really know what a band sounds like live.
Make sure that you can actually sing and like
right.
I was probably the biggest thing. Like,
they could fucking put us on a show. For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But they didn't want to. Yeah. It was like, I want you to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I need you to be uncomfortable.
For sure. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. I mean, I wonder if that it exists anymore, if, like, people still...
Right,
still
do, like, showcases
like,
in that way.
Like,
and
showcase like that. I would venture to guess that the days of just, like playing in a rehearsal room are probably over.
Yeah.
Because, like...
It's just probably, like, how many Spotify plays do you have?
By the time you have interest from a label, you probably have, like, 10 acoustic cover videos in your on your YouTube channel.
Exactly.
Or like,
yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Show. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
different time. That's so funny.
That's wild. Yeah. We, I feel like you guys were the first band to be nice to us.
Well, cool.
Do you remember on Warped Tour, I guess 2007, you would like have us come to your bus for lunch? Because
was that when you guys got in trouble?
We got in trouble in 2008. Talking about the when we
it was 08. It was
07.
It was 08.
Oh, yes,
yes. It was 8 because we were only on that first week, 10 days ish.
Okay. In a van. And
right.
Yeah, you would say, oh, like, you don't have to go eat in your van. Come on the bus.
But we literally met you that one, like, I think Pat met. It was the only person that met you. And you're like, and we all met the first day or whatever. And you guys were so nice. And you're like, yeah, just come to the bus. And I just remember being like, what? Like, just like so happy. Because at that point, I mean, I was like dehydrated and like.
Well, that was our first tour in a bus.
Oh,
really?
It
was Warped Tour 2008.
And you were like, I know what this is like.
Yeah. And we had done Warped Tour in a van several times.
Mm-hmm.
And we always, and like, for us, we did a tour with the Plain White Tees in, I guess, early 2007. And they were like super welcoming and would always invite us on the bus and would like party with us. And we're always just, and so we like, we're always like, if we're ever in a bus, we're going to like, we're going to like, we're going to like take care of like, you know, the other bands.
But it
like
really does pass down. I mean, that's like how we learn. It's like, oh, that's what you do. Like,
right.
Yeah. You, if the band that's struggling at the bottom, you bring them on and you, you know, you're super nice. Like Good Charlotte did that to us too. But like, that's just,
it's, it's so uncomfortable. Even, even now, it's still like a little weird walking on somebody's bus. Like,
right.
Cause it's just like,
like their home,
And like you walk on, and it's just like depending on the time of the day, like either it could just be like two people up there just like like looking at their phones, or it's like a party, or like you, you don't know what you're walking into.
Exactly, it's like, sure.
It's really can be uncomfortable. So I think that like,
but
we,
like if someone did it to us, I wouldn't give a fuck.
No, at all.
Yeah, but you're just like, for me, to go up there.
Yeah.
Well, so I feel like we learned that, that you have to kind of like, actually like, if you want people to come hang out, you have to like, hey, come come with me right now and walk on with me.
Right.
Because like, if you just give someone an open invitation to come,
they're just not gonna knock on the door and like, just, can I come in? Yeah. Like, it's, exactly. Yeah.
Can I have a beer?
But yeah.
I think that that would have been my first time on a
nice.
Me too.
Ever,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And then the first time I ever stayed on a bus was on that fall tour we did with you guys.
Right.
And I was
which
like,
was soon after, which was like a few months after Warped Tour.
Yeah. And that's when we became homies.
Right.
And it was just, and then our lives have been intertwined since.
That was, that's still one of my favorite tours we've ever done, was that 2008, the sellout tour. The,
I think I have the most memories from that tour.
Yeah.
Like there were like some crazy.
Every show was crazy.
It was just,
sold out. And
it was insane. It was so much fun. And I mean, and we all like partied really hard.
You and me didn't drink, but like, me and Pat didn't, but we would just hang out, and you guys did the like wizard staff and all that.
Right.
And I remember Cabby jump on top of the bus or something.
Right. In North Carolina, in Charlotte.
I remember that is so in my memory. I was like, that, okay. All of those rock and roll stories, this is like, he's on top of a fucking bus.
We got banned from that venue where, that venue doesn't exist anymore, but after that show, we got banned. We weren't allowed to go back and play that venue ever again.
So it was as rock and roll as I remember.
they're
not allowed back.
That's crazy. Wait, did he do anything to the venue itself? Did he like get on?
Well, he jumped off the roof. He was on the roof and then jumped on the roof of the bus.
The thing is, that was the second time we had kind of gotten trouble there. And the first time was a lot worse. The first we played a show there with Emery and Pierce the Veil and As Cities Burn. Back in 2007, and I mean, everybody on the tour, like, in the parking lot is just, you know, that big gravel parking lot. Yeah. We all, like, raged really hard, and we ended up pulling, I understand this night why they were upset. We ended up pulling some things. There was, like, an old, kind of broken down foosball table outside of the venue that we drug out, and this big, like, you know, like those big spools that they like put like cabling
and
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
We took some, just a bunch of that stuff, and we just like lit it all on fire and had this huge fire out there, and we're just like shooting fireworks at each other and just like being, you know, dumb and crazy. And they were upset about that, obviously.
Yeah.
And then that the time we played there with you guys, when Cabbage jumped off the roof onto the bus, we had, picked up a car and moved it like but we didn't like, we just kind of picked it up and sort of turned it like 90 degrees and then
that's when I learned you could do that
down. Yeah.
And I forgot about that.
That ended up being the promoter, the promoter's car, and she came back and was like, and she thought we had like broken into her car and driven it and like parked it back.
I mean, that seems more reasonable than picking it up and turning it.
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck did you drive my car?
Yeah. And she was like, you know, it's something doesn't sound right. It's broken. You guys broke. And we had to go apologize to her. And we're like, we didn't drive it. We just picked it up.
Yeah. That's insane.
And then we weren't. But then we'd always get in the roof, and then the alarms would go off, and the police would come. And so it was just
when I hear those stories, I feel like it paints a picture of you guys that is so not true to how you guys really are.
Well, that was back. We like partied way harder back then. Now, like, you know, that's, I guess that's part of why, like, that tour is like one, you know, those early tours are always like, there's just more, as like you said, you have more memories from those tours because, like,
it's the first time you're doing couple it. Times in those places.
Right.
And
everything's exciting.
In like venues of that size, you're like going to the Norva for the first time and like, this venue has a hot tub.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and also everyone was kind of like, it was like the beginning of everyone starting to do like really good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So it was like, not only is it the first time of that, but the shows are just like,
I mean,
insane.
It's crazy that, you know, for us and you guys, an all time low, and Every Avenue is even still like doing some things now, like, you know, back. It's cool that like we're like all still doing it now, 11 years. I was saying, I probably mentioned this to some of you guys. I wanted to do in 2018, last year, I wanted to do a 10-year of that tour.
That would have been fun.
Do the sellout tour part two.
Oh, it'd be so boring now.
Us and you guys on All Time Low and Every Avenue. And Every Avenue just got back together.
Yeah.
I know, I saw that.
We should maybe consider
You hear it here first.
Doing it. I mean, it would just be so much fun. It wouldn't be the same. No. It wouldn't be the same, but
it'd
cool.
be fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be so cool. I mean, last time we toured together, we were pretty... that was when, remember, we were doing a lot of the pranks?
Ah, like, right.
So, like, we were betting, like, Augie, like, because he was working for... Jordan was working for you guys and us.
Right.
So there was that day when it snowed a lot. And what did we do?
We were playing. We were so bored playing.
We were gambling dice, so much.
Playing dice, and like if he lost, he had to get naked and run from our bus into your guys' bus in the snow, take a shower, and come back to our bus without talking to any of you guys or something. Something like that.
Oh man.
Were you guys part? Was that just us?
It was just.
I thought you guys were bored. Part. Oh, dude. I mean, that was the most like. Bored, I remember, but because being bored, we ended up doing a lot of stupid, fun stuff.
That's how it goes.
It was a lot of gambling.
Yeah.
It was so much gambling.
Yeah, I remember on that all-time low tour, we're in Columbus at Newport Music Hall, and we were just like sitting on the bus, hanging out and talking, and you were telling me or people that you had this theory, and I don't know if you remember it, but it stuck in my head. And you said that you think that the average lifespan of a band is about 7 years, and how you guys had been doing it for 2 years at that point, as far as like actually like being on the road and stuff, and that you just really wanted to enjoy what you were doing because you figure you have like a couple more albums to make and like you're going to be on tour, and like 7 years felt like, yeah, like that would be a long time to like make this last.
Yeah.
Do you remember at all like having those kind of thoughts? Like,
or honestly, no. I mean, I guess it sounds like it'd be something I would say, but I don't, you know, and that's crazy because now, like, I mean, we've been, you know, you guys probably the same, it's been 13 years for us.
Yeah.
So it's like, Jesus, man, 7 years seems like just
so
a flash, you know, but most bands don't, you know,
last
that long, you know, and I guess that kind of, but that's the thing. Yeah, I never, like, none of us, we never were like, we're going to do this for decades, you know, it's just like, we, you know, it's like, hopefully we're still a band a year from now, you know, like, and
well, you kind of have to have that, like that feeling of it could just go away for you to, like,
want to make 100% make the most of it.
Want to make your tours better and whatever, because you feel like if you don't, you can just be replaced.
You see so many bands that like have something cool and then it just kind of for whatever reason falls apart or goes away, and it's kind of nuts. But
do you feel like now do you have any more like ambition for like we want to be in a band till we're of a certain age, or like anything like that, or is it still just taking it one year at a time, tour at a time?
It's still kind of the same, but I definitely think about it more long term, just because
it has been now.
Yeah, and you kind of have. It's like now. It's like It's way more real of like, oh man, like if
we'll probably hit 20.
Right. Well, yeah. that's a goal for sure. Is like I want to hit 20 years for sure. And then it's also like before it seemed like if this, you know, if the band breaks up or whatever, like, well, I'll do some whatever. But now it's like, man, like if I'm not doing this, then like, what am I gonna, like now it's way more real. It's like, oh shit. Like, what am I going to do? Like if this just goes away, like it's all I have known for so long that it's such a more, and I've got a family now and well, like, and it's, you know, it's a whole
starting
different thing.
Young. Like then it's like, oh, okay. Like you said, 7 years. It's like, oh, I'll be 25 by that time. Oh, I could still like figure out what I'm going to do. Now it's like, you know, in your 30s. And
grown
you're
men.
Like, and you're like, fuck, well, I've done this for half of my life.
Right.
I don't know what I would do after.
Right.
Like, it's such
it's much.
It makes it scary too, though.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Definitely does. But it's also like, you know, you know, it can push you and it can
I mean, I think it keeps you from just kind of coasting. Like if I think by the time that people are in a job for 13 years, they just kind of get comfortable and they feel like, oh, this is just like what I'm going to be doing. But there's that pressure that keeps it exciting. And you know, you feel like, hey, we got to keep doing better. We got to keep.
Right.
Does it make, I'm just curious. Do you feel like you need to be a little safer because of that?
Well, I don't know. That's tough because what is safe, you know?
Yeah, like, totally.
Like what? Because and that's such a hard thing to, because a lot and in a lot of ways, playing it safe could be looked at as coasting. It's just kind of doing the same, you know, kind of thing. And then, but then that can be dangerous as well. And that's one thing that I've like actually recently mentioned. We had played a show in New Orleans a couple of days ago. And I was talking to the guys about Sad Summer Fest, and I was like, let's think of some like cool things to do like for the set. Like, like we can't, like, how long can we like, and you know, and we always try and like, you know, add, and you guys are great at it. You guys are very like, you add these cool elements of, you know, like bringing people up from the crowd and doing it. And then John's always doing all this crazy shit, you know? And like, so it's like, yeah, like you kind of, you know, it's like, there's so many amazing shows out there, like 21 Pilots, you know, and like, you
lighting
know, it's
shit
like,
on
it's
fire,
like, it's like how
stuff that we were doing parking lots, like you were saying,
it's like for how long can we just like, you know, just go play our songs and like, you know, it's like we need to like think of, you know, so,
I feel like when we've actually like thought of, hey, how can we like change things to make it makes the show much more fun to like, you know, because you have to be on your toes. Like, you know, we started like throwing in having a chunk in the set where we, you know, do a vote song, and just having that one thing, it makes more concentrated on the whole show, because it's like, okay, this song we only played once during sound check, we're playing in three songs, I gotta fucking remember what it is. So it's like little things
and,
like that,
and we did it where we wouldn't repeat a song any night of the whole tour. So whatever, if it was like a 30-day tour between our B-sides and albums, we have enough, you know, songs that were every night. It was something totally different. A lot of some stuff we had never performed before.
Yeah.
So then you just like, some of the guys are sitting on the bus with guitars figuring out the chords, and then,
but you'd know ahead of time. You'd know
when, so right before sound check. We know before
sound
check.
Cool.
And then we just spend like a half an hour, maybe not even, in sound check and kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
And then
that's awesome.
Add it in the set. And it just, but then we kind of keep the rest of the set consistent. So, like you still have that like comfortability with, you know, whatever.
But it does shake it up. So the whole set does feel, you know, unique and like
different.
Special. Yeah, like, can I end up remembering shows more because of like, oh, we played this song.
And
I remember that show now.
We fucked it up.
Right.
Well, I feel like things like that.
I feel like people. Those are the things, and that's part of what I was trying to say to the guys is like those things that you add, like that's what people are going to remember from the show. Like they're going to go to the show and be like, man, when the main brought up that kid to sing, like that was so cool. Like those are those things
and
like that are what
they
stand out.
It's kind of regardless if it's good or not, or whether it's good is such a subjective thing,
right?
You know, but just the fact that it could go wrong is what's
makes it kind of it's like risky, it's kind of exciting.
Totally.
So people vote like online? Or
yeah.
How does it?
Yeah. Okay. So we do like a Twitter.
Like every
thing.
Day, basically.
Yeah. So like every day when I wake up, I'll post an option between like a couple songs, and then whichever wins, we
nice.
Practice it, and then we don't ever put that back on the list. So, but then like any of the ones that lost, we could put up the next day or whatever, and it could win. And,
yeah. Well, I hope you guys don't mind if we steal that because
do it. With having so many records too, it's like and you find things that you maybe like. There's certain songs I remember, like, I really don't like playing this. And then it would end up winning, and then we'd play it that night and be like, I actually do like that song.
It's not as bad as I thought. Yeah.
There's been a couple songs that have won that then have ended up kind of what we just like, oh, we should just keep that in the set. Like, this is cool, you know? Right. And then there's some nights it's like, oh, we did it for the people that were there, and we won't ever do it again. But it's cool. I mean, yeah, I think, yeah. And I probably took the idea from, I think, the Rolling Stones. So,
okay.
So feel free to.
Yeah. Yeah.
John told Garth Brooks the other night, and he said he's going to steal some stuff from Garth.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, that's the way it goes, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's. He did some
Jesus-y arms, he said.
John's going to be doing the Jesus arms.
Yeah. Yeah.
After every song, put your arms up.
Love me.
Maybe is that a Scott Stapp thing as well? Didn't Scott Stapp do a lot of that?
Yeah, but I think you'd have to. I don't know if Garth's having his shirt open. Yeah. I think he might be a little.
Yeah.
Have a little bit. God, of
yeah,
belly.
we heard this. Was it Scott Stapp that was records without his shirt, looking at projected images of himself?
Yeah.
So is that for real?
Yeah. So when we recorded with Howard Benson, and you guys just recorded with him too. So he was telling us the story that Scott Stapp would project images of himself. Like,
no, he had a big flat screen TV.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Few feet in front of him, and he didn't do it in like a booth. He was like in like the. Is Howard still at that same spot? No, it's a well, like it was
pretty much just like in the kitchen, like in the lounge of the studio, and he would just record out there in front of the TV, and it'd be pictures of like him or
his wife,
yeah, you know, or him and his wife like doing like sexy, you know, photos.
Yeah,
and
he would
only record to watching that.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah.
That's but totally insane.
Also, like, kind of amazing.
Yeah. Hey, if like, it works, you know?
Dude, but, like, I don't know. What does that mean?
Right. Yeah, what does that mean? Yeah. What does that say?
I mean, also, like, maybe you just do it because we're talking about him only for that purpose.
But it's
you
not right. like that story's out there.
Yeah, no.
Like, we literally just heard that because the guy who recorded him told us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he, like, did, like, some video interview and like he's like, how do you record?
I do it like this, man. I look at myself.
That's fucking crazy though.
Yeah
It's nuts. Creed's from Tallahassee.
Really?
Yeah
Wow.
Yeah, they got
are people happy about
they
that?
Got their well, you know, I don't know if anyone really now these days, I don't know if folks really know or care too much, but but yeah, they got their start in Tallahassee, Floyd's Music Store, a venue that we used to play and go to a lot, and it's kind of nuts, man. But
that's cool.
Yeah, I mean the dudes are all from Orlando, I think originally, but I think we're going to school in Tallahassee when the band
actually started,
formed,
yeah.
And so
man.
Yeah,
that's what insane.
Creed.
There aren't many bands from Tallahassee, but yeah,
I know two now.
Yeah, well, I say that there were a lot of amazing bands from Tallahassee, but none that I guess went on to
recognition.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
is Limp Bizkit from close to you guys?
I have no idea. I don't think so. I would guess that they were like a California thing or something. Or I don't know.
Whatever.
we don't need
that. But so I guess kind of along the lines of with the show trying to keep it, you know, interesting after all this time, like, do you feel like making albums now is harder than it was or easier because you have more experience or you've done all the ideas, you know? It's like I think for us the past two we've had to push through a lot of like we just sat and felt like we didn't have anything for a long time. And then it like took just kind of not accepting that it was good enough yet. And you know, I feel like in like some ways it gets harder to make albums, and then some ways you feel more comfortable with the process and stuff, like
right.
I know over the past two records you guys have kind of changed how you write, you know.
Yeah.
Where the now it's kind of a more group effort.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's really tricky. And I think kind of it's, yeah. The hardest thing is getting all of us on the same page, is like is having like a focus that, and that's always been like just a very difficult thing with anything with us. It's always like hard to get all five of, because it's all just the majority mm-hmm. vote. You have, you know, once you get 3 out of 5, it's what we're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but it can be really difficult to get us all on the same page. And then like Black Lines, we were all on the same page, and like it was cool. It was like, that was the most like different album that we've done.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like leaving everything else we had done, and like, this is what we're going to do. It's kind of a new sound. It's kind of a new direction, but it's what we want to do.
Yeah.
And like, people weren't that into it, you know? So like, it was like, well, shit, like, I guess we kind of have to, we can't really just do that. We can't like, so we approached Sunnyland a lot different. It was kind of like, all right, how do we find that balance of like what people like about us and what we like do well, but then also like not just doing the same thing over and over again,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and still like, you know, trying these new ideas and trying new things. And I'm really happy with how Sunnyland came out. And so that one, like, I feel like is a good, as far as like any of, I think that's our most, I don't know, like more like well-rounded mm-hmm. album that I think has like a little bit of everything.
Yeah. There's a lot of like, different. I feel like when I listen to it, there's like a few acoustic songs, which is like an interesting thing to do, where like normally you'd put like one.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Like it hits a bunch of different marks.
Yeah.
Things you've done, but also like maybe the strongest versions of those things.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But I like the last record a lot.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. That, for me, when that, I was like, damn, this is, because it was like edgier and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And like you guys playing it live, I was like, fuck. I guess I heard most of it because, you know, we toured together at the
right.
time.
Right, yeah.
But look, I mean, now it being around long, I feel like, cause we've had records that, you know, have definitely dipped for us.
Black, you're saying with
Black Lines.
Black Lines, yeah.
Yeah. Now it being out for a little while, have you seen any turn on it?
Well, it's one of those, like, it's very divided, you know, like there's some people that are like, yo, Black Lines is awesome, and like mm-hmm. that's you know, Made a Prey doing the thing, and then there's a lot of people that were like, I don't know what the hell they were thinking, like that, you know.
certainly been there,
right? Yeah.
A few times.
Yeah. it's such a tricky thing, man, and that's why, yeah, like I feel like that's always kind of the battle, is like is not, you don't want to like, you know. And it's also so tough because some bands can do it and like pull it off so well.
Yeah.
Like there's, you know, think of like Brand New and like mm-hmm. how much they've changed, and like think of how different Devil and God was.
Yeah.
But it's like maybe one of their most loved mm-hmm. albums. Like they did it and people loved it.
Yeah.
And then there's bands that do that same thing and everyone's like, no, like we're not into this, you know? Yeah. And so it's super risky. And,
yeah. I mean, yeah, I think for us, we've just been like, even when certain albums maybe haven't gone over as well, we just kind of, as opposed to like thinking, oh, well, maybe we should go do something else, we just kind of like, nope, this is what we want to do. And like over time, it's like now become accepted. I guess.
Well, I think that's honestly,
but it's like taken time for that to happen.
Right. You know? Well, I think that's awesome, and I think that you guys have pulled that off really well, and it's super cool that you guys have been able to do that, because, I mean, yeah, it takes a lot of guts, man. It takes a lot of, like, well, whatever, like, we're gonna, this is what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think our band, like, we kind of have this thing where we just really don't like being told what to do, and we really don't like doing what people think we should do. So,
right.
So we kind of either do the opposite, or we just know that like we're not going to be happy doing something that doesn't feel like what we want to be doing at that time.
Right.
So where my thought process comes is like, well, then I would rather it's either going to end because people don't care or it's going to end because we're not happy.
Right.
So it's like, might as well go with like us being happy and then we'll see what happens. And thankfully now over the past 4 years, it's kind of taken a turn back in the other way and we're having, you know, more success than we ever have.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, it's interesting to see just how every band kind of has navigates their,
yeah,
sure, their career. Cause we've, yeah, been, you know, now we've kind of all been doing it this for the exact same amount of time and kind of all ended up in the same kind of a place and just gone through all these different paths to get there. And like,
right.
Well, I mean, we've also been all doing it long enough where we can see where it does this and we know that it's going to do this.
Right.
It's going to go up and down. That's, yeah, just how.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's one of the good things about it is that and that's, I feel like, kind of why we made Black Lines was like, for a while we were like scared of like, yo, if we make the wrong album, this could all just like go away.
Yeah.
But like, then it's like,
well, we've been around, yeah, long enough. Yeah. Like, yeah, people aren't just going to forget about you because they're not into an album.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually you feel kind of like established enough and you have, yeah, you know, and that's also one of the cool things about, I feel like, our bands versus like, you know, some bands kind of blow up off of like maybe like radio success or something, yeah, that's like that kind of stuff can be super fickle and can just like go away.
Oh yeah.
As soon as you're not putting out radio hits anymore. But I feel like we have like, we've, you know, toured for years and years and years and sort of like, and you know, established this kind of core, and like we're, both of our bands are very, you know, go out and talk to people and are, mm-hmm, very open to, you know, making these connections and like being there for our fans. And I think that really like goes a long way and means a lot and, yeah, and, you know, helps establish these, you know, lifelong fans are going to keep coming out. And it's not just like, oh, they don't, you know, this, it's just a different kind of thing.
Yeah. Totally.
Do you have any kind of a vision for what to do next, or is it, cause this is kind of that weird time when like being in a band, like where you guys are kind of like, the album's now been out for a while. So it's kind of like when you're home, you don't really have as much to do when you're, you know, like right before an album comes out, or when you're working on an album, you're busy when you're on tour, when you're home, whatever.
Right.
And then there's kind of that,
right,
4 months after the album out, it's like,
yeah,
well people either people like it or they don't.
And then you go like, yeah, are you already like working on what's, yeah, going to be next? Or
I've been writing some stuff. I've demoed out a couple songs that I've sent to the guys. And that's kind of the mode that I'm in. I've also been recording some of my own just solo stuff.
Nice.
Just mostly just kind of for fun. Like nothing I want to take like super seriously, but it's really just that throughout the years I have a couple dozen songs that I've written that we've never used.
Didn't make it, yeah.
And it's like, well, we're never going to use these. And it's, yeah, like, I may as well just, so I've been going to,
Until you record it and it does well, and then everyone's like, what the fuck? Where's,
right,
this song?
Right.
Dude, I sent it to you like 10 years ago.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So, so I've been going to Lee Dyes in Valdosta, and I'm actually going to his studio again coming up in a couple days, and just want to have some time, just go and record a couple songs, you know.
Nice.
And
that's awesome.
It's not really...
You think it'll be an album, or...
I don't really know what the plan is, honestly. And I've also recorded a bunch of cover songs, even going back like a couple years ago, that I haven't done anything with. I've like, so I'm kind of like just recording all this stuff,
gotta,
and then I'm like,
put this stuff out.
Right, I know. And this is the first I've really even like talked about it, like, you know, sort of openly, but you know, I'll do something with it, but nothing too crazy. It's just, like I said, it's really just mostly because I have this stuff. And it's also nice to be able to work on something and have complete control over it. And not that, like, I mean, I love the process that we do with Mayday Parade, and that's what makes it, like, sometimes it goes ways that I don't like. Sometimes I'll, you know, I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe we ruined that part, or we, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I ultimately agree that that's the process that we
works,
you know,
best, yeah,
works best for the band, and it's what makes, you know, our Mayday Parade our band. But it's also just kind of cool to be able to have something that you know, like I know the guys would hate this, but I'm just gonna. I get to do whatever I want, you know, and just to kind of have that freedom to. So it's just kind of fun. I have my kids and stuff, so I don't have a ton of time to work on. But really, it's like Tuesdays and Thursdays are my 2 days a week where my daughters are in school, my son's in daycare, and my wife's at work. So Tuesdays and Thursdays are my 2 days where I work on music, and I have my little, you know, studio room, and I'm just writing and demoing, and so I've sent a few demos over, and I'm, you know, and it's cool. I'm actually really excited about the stuff that I've been working on, and but it's still so early, you know, and there isn't really like I don't have much of like a vision for like what direction. It's just like I'm just kind of writing whatever and whatever comes out. And but it's one thing that's tricky is that like, and I'm sure this has been a conversation for a lot of bands these days, is like, do we do an album or do we record some singles or like, because I mean, and I hate this, and at some point we certainly will record another album, but it just kind of seems like, you know, recording an album and putting it all out at once and then waiting 2 years and not putting out anything and then just putting out another, you know, lump of songs. It's like just kind of it's becoming a little dated. And like you put out an album and then a few months later, it just kind of feels doesn't have like that lasting power.
I think our thing on it has always been like we feel like we're like an album band. We feel like people want to like listen to our whole albums, and I think there's some bands where you listen to a single and that, you know, that's awesome. And I guess we've always tried to like supplement that with like we'll put out an album, and then like a couple months later we'll put out like an acoustic EP, and then we'll put out like a B-sides EP, and then whatever. I think it's always just trying to like find that balance of like how can we continue to make albums, but then
have some content in the
because I feel like if you do the single thing and you're not like a starting out band, there's so much not pressure, but there's like so much that's going into that one song where like if someone doesn't like it, I feel like then it could, if you do more and more things that people don't like, it could easily be like, okay, fuck this band. Or like if you put out 12 songs, there's bound to be a few that they're gonna like in that chunk.
I mean, I think, you know, I would imagine that before our next record comes out, that we would, put out a single, put out an EP. Like, I think the like pace in which you can put out music now, like
that's what's different.
Might as well, you know. And like we have a recording studio now, so I think once the kind of heavy touring comes down, I don't see why the hell not.
I guess that's most of it, is that we certainly will keep putting out albums, but it's almost like it's kind of what you were saying, you know, and you know, putting out some stuff in between, maybe an acoustic EP with some new songs, or a lot, or we've never done any kind of live thing, and maybe doing something like that with a couple new songs or some Christmas stuff or whatever. But a part of what's like almost kind of frustrating about it is like I've sent a couple demos recently, and I'm like, it sucks that no one's going to hear this for probably like at least like a year and a half. You know what I mean? Like it'd be kind of cool to just be able to record something and then just put it out. Know, like there's something kind of nice about that. Cause it's almost like, it's just so weird that it takes that long from the time you've written something till the time people hear it. Years could have passed, and then it's like, is it, you know, and it's almost like you need to move faster and like stay on top of it. And so I don't know.
Do you feel like you guys living all over the country makes that harder, that you just can't like get in a room on Tuesday and work out a song?
Not necessarily, only because personally I kind of like to be able to just like we all write, but everyone sort of like writes separately and then we bring it together and then we kind of work on it together. But usually it's a pretty like finished idea. Whatever it is that comes in. And And maybe it's just me being like stubborn, but I don't really like to, I don't really like to co-write very much in general. Like yeah. I like to be able to just like, a lot of it's that I'm, it, a lot of times I'm not like if I'm just not, I'll try and write stuff. And if it's just not happening, then it's just not happening. And so when I've done like any sort of co-writing scenarios, that it's like so stressful and it's like, well, shit, you can't just go, well, I got nothing.
It's not working.
Yeah, like, yeah, you can't just do that. It's like, well, I'm stuck in a room with this guy for another like 6 hours, so we got to keep trying, you know? So I mean, you just kind of like force, you know, like.
That's such a weird idea. Like,
yeah.
Hey, something has to come today.
Right.
It doesn't matter if it's good or bad.
Exactly, yeah. And we haven't done much. We did that, you know, like probably, you know, 10 years ago for our second album. We did a lot of co-writing, and I hated it so much. And but yeah, you know, and it's of course it's very different writing with the guys in the band than it is writing with like a, you know, a co-writer. But still, it's just like,
because you can be mean to each other,
right? Right. You can be honest, and you can
Yo, that fucking sucks.
Yeah. But it's just like, yeah, like a lot of times. Somebody will bring something that they want me to work on, and it's always either like, either I, you know, hear something for it and I can take it and run with it, or I don't and I can't, and it's weird to, it's hard to like force it. It's hard to like, you know, so, and again, maybe it's just me being stubborn, but I kind of like to just like go by myself and just like write, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. I was, so obviously the reason that you're out here is because the big Sad Summer tour that we just announced.
Sad Summer.
I remember we were in at, was it Download Festival?
Right.
Germany.
At the UK.
No, in
UK.
England,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we were outside of our dressing room, and I was kind of bringing it up to you guys. I think for the first time that we had actually talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
What are your what were kind of your first initial thoughts on the whole thing, and did you think it was actually possible and could happen? And
well, I was certainly one. I was really excited about it, and it seemed like such a like an obvious like this is obviously what we should do.
Yeah.
And I expected a lot of bands to try and sort of do something similar, you know,
same
with you know, with Warped being gone, it seemed like there's now this like vacuum, and I expected, and I feel like that's not really the case, which is a little surprising. But I was also super grateful that you guys kind of, cause I mean, you guys, you know, had this idea and you guys kind of like, you know, brought us into it, which I thought was really cool. And you guys could have easily just like been like, we're doing this thing and you guys can be a part of it, but you guys like, you know, you like made us like, you know, really a part of it. And I thought that was really awesome of you guys. And, yeah, you know, it's crazy that it's, cause from the beginning, it's always been like, you know, like this, I could see this being really cool, but there's a lot of steps. There's a lot of, you know, who knows if it's going to pan out and now it feels like it's a real
thing. Yeah, because I think the thing that people don't realize, because we, you know, we get all the time people after shows saying like, you guys should do a tour with this band or whatever, or bring out more bands like this or have these people in it or whatever. And people don't understand how challenging it is to get people to agree. So when it's stuff like this where me and you can just talk about it, and you know, we can kind of cut through the music industry part of it, and it obviously helps that we have managers that are actual people, not like, you know, some other bands that have these people that just feel so a part of the music industry and they have to do everything by the books. But it really is such a challenge. So the fact that we were able to get us, you guys, state champs, the 1 year's, to all like agree and work together and compromise and like and think about the bigger picture, not just think about, you know, obviously everybody could make more money doing their own tour, everybody could do all these things that if you're just looking at it at face value would be better, you know, but to see that everybody could try to do something for the greater good of the whole group. For a while, I didn't think that that was possible because we've had ideas like this or kind of along the same lines, and it just hasn't ever worked out. You know?
Right.
So it kind of makes me feel more confident in like, hey, you can do things that are cool still, you know?
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's amazing that, exactly. That it's like, you know, that it has come to be. And I think this scene or whatever, like kind of it needs something like this,
yeah.
You know? And I feel like that people, you know, and maybe that's, vain to say, but I feel like people kind of like, I don't know, with Warped Tour being gone and not to keep comparing it too much to Warped Tour, you know, but I just think that that tour meant so much to so many people.
Yeah.
And you know, I think a lot of people kind of need something like this.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I feel like a tour in the summer that feels like you're not just going in a venue and watching bands. It's like there's just the simple things, like you're getting food from a food truck,
yeah.
and you're looking at merch tents, and you're hanging out with your friends in the sun, and
getting sunburned.
You're doing all these things, like, and you can see a bit of everyone, and bands are putting on a different kind of a show, and like that is important for people, you know,
right.
and the fact that, you know, we're going to be able to bring that to people all summer, and I think. What is also great is that, you know, I feel like a lot of festivals right now are trying to cater to everyone. You know, they're trying to cater to every type of person.
Right.
And we made something that is very specific for a certain group of people.
Yeah.
Either you're going to get it, and we're going to make it the best day that you could ever have, or it's just not for you.
Right.
You know, and I feel like,
I think that's the biggest part of it. Yeah.
That is why, like when we did our 8123 fest, I feel like, you know, that's the goal is like, all right, this isn't for everybody. This is for a very specific group of people that love us that much. And
right.
We're going to make every detail of it, from the drinks that they have to the food that they have, to the bands they see, to the t-shirts, to the way it's decorated. Everything is going to be very specific, so
right.
it feels like you go there and you're home, because it's like,
right,
hey, this is everything I love in one place.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I feel like that is what the aim is to do with this tour. You know, is to
absolutely.
Like just make it for that person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't wait.
It's yeah.
Gonna, yeah, it's gonna be sweet. So fun.
I've gotten
just,
so excited
just
about
thinking
it.
About. Being able to hang out like just with all the bands and like bring that element of like playing cornhole backstage or like anything that you wouldn't do on a regular tour because you don't have the
right.
room for it. Like,
yeah,
I just think it's gonna be
fly by
a good summer.
That, it's gonna
that's
fly by.
True. Yeah.
And
it's
short.
Yeah,
it's super short.
That's my only not complaint or whatever. Is it like, yeah, it's gonna be so much fun and it's gonna just. It's just going to be over so fast, but you know, hopefully it's something that can continue and
totally.
But yeah, I get more and more excited about it as it gets closer, and especially now that we've announced it's one of those things that it's so hard not to talk about,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And so it's I love that now it's announced and people are excited about it, and it just feels more real, you
yeah.
know. And
when I saw the trailer for it and all the bands popped up, I was like, this is gonna be super fun. Like that's all I was like, this is gonna be really good.
Yeah.
And I am.
And it's just it gets us all like get a play in venues that we would never be able to headline
right.
without everybody, and like
yeah,
and that just adds an extra element of fun and
absolutely yeah.
Well,
and it's all good people, it's all good
yeah.
folks,
yeah.
and yeah,
it's gonna be dope.
Mm-hmm. Well, we can't wait. It'll yeah. be awesome. If anybody out there is listening and hasn't heard, come to the sad summer tour, man.
Sad summer.
It'll be rad. Hell yeah. Well,
thanks for
coming out to Arizona and,
thank you guys.
And talking, and we will do it again soon.
Yeah, sounds good.
Cool, guys.
Sweet.
Hell yeah.
Well, that was sweet.